Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. And as always, we'll start with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, love, and kindness. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday morning. Oh, God, we thank you for your many, many blessings toward us, Lord God. It is only by your grace, only by your grace that we're here, Lord God. So we're grateful for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace, Lord God. And we pray, oh God, again, for your Holy Spirit to come. Oh, Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Oh, Father, we know if he doesn't come, we might as well go home. And we mean that, Lord God. Father, we want you to move. We want you to convince and convict. We want you to give us information and revelation, knowledge in your word, Lord God. Oh, God, we know that we must decrease and you must increase, Lord God. So that is our prayer today, that you would come and you would minister to us, Lord God, and not just us, Lord, but everyone in this house of God today, that you would minister by your spirit. And Lord, and we thank you and we praise you and we expect you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we go forward, guys, we're still in the handout, the power of prayer. And just again, our key scripture is, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Or, you think of a fortress, for the destruction of a fort, a stronghold. You know, back in the day, they used to build those walls of the fortresses were like several feet thick, you know. And that's what he's talking about, comparing this to that prayer. Can bring
the walls
these things
were built
down.
So thick that they could run horses.
They could run horses on them. They were so so thick.
So we're like a platform.
You
know. So the wall was bigger and thicker than the area they were covering.
So as we talk about the destruction of fortresses, I want you to have that picture in your mind. That those big things in your life, those things that you think are just been around too long and is too powerful, you know. We have to use our divine weapons. And we talked about in this chapter about the different types of warfare. We talked about the face-off warfare, where, you know, when you start out sometimes in Christianity, you're facing the devil head on. You're really gung-ho for God, and you know, and you face the devil head on and you try to come at him, you know, not understanding the power of prayer to so well. And we compared it to how soldiers used to fight back in the day and how they used to line up across from each other in columns and just shoot at each other. And of course, that was a problem because they had a lot of casualties. And as the weapons became more sophisticated, like the machine gun in particular, they had a lot of casualties with that kind of warfare and facing off. And that's how we were at the beginning with the enemy. We would fight on his terms. We would argue, you know, in the flesh. We would do all kind of things in the flesh on God's side, but fighting in the flesh we used to do. And as we grew up in God, we learned other things. We learned about trench warfare, I call it. And we talked about trench warfare, and that's how warfare progressed with mankind. They dug in deep, and they were faithful, and they did the work of the ministry, and they did what they were supposed to do, and they followed the word of God, and they were just in the trenches, Lord. They were just doing the work, you know, doing, and that was good. I'm not saying anything against the work, but sometimes we're so busy doing the work that we forget about the prayer, you know.
Amen.
So we're doing the work, and we're in the trenches, and the problem with being in trench warfare is that sometimes there's no progression, you know, because you're dug in deep, you can't move. And that was the problem with trench warfare. They couldn't move. And then we talked about tank warfare, and that's where we learn how to pray, and that's where we learn the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're mighty through God. And that's what's going to pull down the strongholds. And that's when we really get into prayer. The tank came about in World War II, is, you know, it was under the supervision of Winston Churchill, and the tank was amazing because they can get into it and they could progress. They could take back ground and be protected while they took back ground. And so we compare, when we look at the weapons of our warfare, we compare the prayer to the tank warfare, where we can move forward in God through prayer, that as the Lord and the Holy Spirit gives us inspiration, we know how to pray. And we know who to pray for and how to pray. The Lord will wake you up in the night and he'll ask you to pray. And like, why does God, when you already know, why are you waking us up? Because he wants us to be a part of this process. Because when you're a part of the process, it increases your faith. We talked about all the things that prayer does for me. You know, when I'm praying for somebody and I'm praying for something and I see it happen, it helps me. It blesses me. It increases my faith. It increases my peace that God has got it, you know. So prayer does so much for you. It's not just about God doing it all because, God, you see it, just do it. No, prayer, he brings us into the process because he sees how much it's going to bless us when we get a good, strong prayer life. And we talked about the different people who had prayer lives. And we talked about Anna, you know, one of my favorite people in the Bible. In Luke chapter 2, she's mentioned. And she was, they talked about how long she was praying. And we were doing the math. And boy, if she got married around maybe 12, 13 years old, that's how they used to get married back then. And now she was a widow of 84. And they said all these years she was praying. She had been married only 7 years. After then she was widowed. And she, since that time, she was at 84 years of age at that point. She was praying in the temple. They said she never left. She lived there just praying. Can you imagine your life just dedicated? I mean, from her early 20s, it probably was, all the way until age 84, she stood and she's just stayed praying. And she was praying through that whole time when Christ was coming. That whole time of all the times, you know, those 2,000 years, as you look, those thousands of years between the Old and the New Testament, any time Anna could have been born and praying, but it was just at this point where the Christ was coming. And you have to wonder, why did Luke even mention her? She wasn't even invited because it was all about Simeon. I grew up, I always heard about Simeon. That Simeon was the one that he said that the Lord told him he would not die until he saw the Messiah. So it seemed like it was all about Simeon. But Luke makes this little side note about Anna and about her being a prayer warrior and that she was praying. And if you do the math, as I said, you'll see that she was praying through that entire time when Mary saw the angel. She was praying when, come on in. when, come on, we're having our little round table. We got to, today. When the angel visited Mary, she was praying. When they were making their trip to Bethlehem, she was praying. When Joseph had to accept her, that she had conceived, Anna was praying through all that time. And when they made the trip to Bethlehem, when Herod was determined to wipe out the children in Bethlehem, and he did, he wiped out the children, but Joseph was warned in a dream, you know the story. Yeah. Anna was praying through all that whole season. Yeah. There was a woman that had not stopped praying in the temple. And even when the child was finally brought to the temple, to be presented in the temple, and Simeon was there to see it, and Simeon actually held the baby. Anna was not, she was just on the sideline. She wasn't even invited to the meeting. You know, all this praying, she wasn't even invited to the meeting. Just on the sideline, but she was okay with that. And that's the way prayer warriors are. You know, they just want to see it happen. She just got a glimpse that it happened. And she went out. They said, they didn't say she said anything to them. She just went out and she told everybody that the child had been born. That's the life of a prayer warrior. She, as I said, she's one of my favorite people because it was like she was just there to fast and to pray through this whole season. And the Christ child was coming. And then we get on to David and Goliath. Another story of great prayer and great faith. And we find the story in 1 Samuel 17. And in your lesson, it says the armies of Israel were in the trenches. They were on the right side and out on the battlefield, but they were paralyzed. Remember, we were the trench warfare, just paralyzed and stagnant because of this giant called Goliath. Have you been there? Just paralyzed, didn't know what to do, couldn't move forward, couldn't move back, and just had a situation that you could not, didn't know how to deal with. They said he would come out each day and taunt the people of God as to their resolve in God. Oh, man. Can you identify the giants in your life? Mm-hmm. It could be a person. It could be an illness. It could be a situation which taunts you periodically or daily. Something that just, Jesus, if you don't do anything, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, you feel helpless to change things, and you feel God does not see it. Sometimes you just feel like, God, where are you? Do you see it? Do you know? Do you care? You know, those kind of prayers come out. But nothing is random with God, folks. I'm telling you, nothing is random with God. Nothing just happens to his children for no reason. I've learned that through the years. He always has a plan, and he is always in the plan. He just wants you to keep praying. I am here. And sometimes we think it's all about changing our external environment. Change that person and get that person out of my life and bring that to me and give me that. And we think it's all about that external. But I have learned that often, it's about in here. It's about what he needs to do in here with me. And he had to teach me that stuff. Oh, my goodness. I've told you a lot of my Matthew stories, and I just would cry and boo-hoo. He would just trash my house so bad. I mean, I'm not talking about just, guys, this was just mega messes. And God taught me so much through that. Yeah. He taught me. Oh, my goodness. He's strengthened. He taught me. And I've told you guys my story so many times. I thought I was there to minister to my son, but my son ministered to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, God used that situation just to teach me some things and teach me how to praise him through the pain and praise him. And when you can overcome what's external, it's still there, still happening. Mm-hmm. But inside, you've got the joy of the Lord, and you have overcome. Oh, my goodness, that's a place you want to get to. Okay, you don't want the external situations of your life to dictate your joy. See, joy does not depend on what's happening outside of you. Joy comes from the Lord. And so you just have that joy, and you can have that peace, and you can have that, Lord, I know you got it. And I'm telling you, when God did that, when he does that work in you, watch things start to change. She goes, well, okay, she got the lesson, let's move on to the next lesson. And he does that. So sometimes you're always looking for something outside of you, but sometimes it's like, what are you trying to teach me, Father? Where's the lesson here is what we're trying to learn. And so your lesson goes back, you know, David and Goliath. And Goliath came out and he taunted the people of God as to their resolve in God. And I think you look in the scripture and he even talks about, I thought you guys had a God. I thought you, you know, and so he would taunt them. And your lesson says, and then came David, a prayer warrior and a praise warrior. I mean, you know that. You read his Psalms. You read what he wrote. He was a praise warrior and a prayer warrior. And praise is prayer, honey. He knew how to pray. He knew how to praise God in prayer. He was just a boy who had spent time, and it should be time with God, the N is crossed out, spent time with God alone in the fields as he tended his father's sheep. You know, he was just a boy. And I find the most intimate times with God is when you are doing those simple tasks, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's paying attention to you. You're just out in the fields. In fact, when Samuel came to anoint the new king, they didn't even call David in. He said, let me see your sons. God told me one of your sons are going to be the king. They didn't even call David in. Just out in the field. Like, you are so irrelevant that we're not even calling you in.
Invited to this party.
Yeah. You're not even invited to the party. You just, you know, and again, that's the way we are sometimes. That's the person. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just out there doing those simple tasks. You might just be cleaning up. You might just be wiping down the tables. You know, but God teaches you great truths through some of the mundane things in life. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you're missing the greatest lessons of your life by resenting the simple tasks that he's called you to. Mm-hmm. Cleaning the bathroom. You know, cleaning up behind people, it's uncular to washing somebody's feet, you know, and that's what Jesus did, you know, when you're cleaning up the bathroom behind somebody, you know, and serving people and doing. God is teaching you so much because that is the heart of our Christ. When you look at Christ, that is who he was, man. He taught on the countryside. He taught on the hillside. He went to all kind of people's houses. He interacted with all kind of people, and he served and he served and he served. You know, that's what he did. David learned the power of the Almighty while out in the fields tending the sheep. Mm-hmm. David developed his tank, if you will, in the fields. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's where you develop your tank, in the fields. You develop your tank when nobody's paying attention, because just you and God, just talking. Nobody's even, as I said, they're not even considering what you're doing. Is this mine or yours?
No.
That's mine. That's yours?
Mine.
Okay, I'm looking for mine. Oh, here's mine. So while you're, you know, while you're doing some of these mundane things, God is teaching you. So David developed his tank in the fields. And if you remember the great women of God who spent time in the fields, in the background, in the wilderness, developing their tank before the Almighty. I remember when Joyce Meyer talks about her testimony, she talks about her little Bible study that she used to have in her little house. And she said she would just be in there. She was growing in God. She said she'd be puffing on a cigarette, just teaching the word of God.
Yeah.
And she said, and nothing really happened with her ministry. You know, she's living at Lindau in Fenton, Missouri. And the only reason why I know Fenton, Missouri exists is because of Joyce Meyer. Because I'm like, Fenton? I remember hearing her on the radio. And I was like, oh, she's kind of interesting. I remember hearing when in Atlanta, I was like, listening to her back. I said, she's kind of interesting. Boy, she got a little point. Boy, she got a little teaching skill, you know. And boy, she just exploded when the time was right. And she said she sat for about, I think, about 20 years. She said, she just sat and just did her little thing, and God just exploded her at the right time.
Right. It was kind of funny because she was smoking her cigarette in short shorts.
Yeah, in short shorts, yeah. Doing all she knew to do.
Everything was in the flesh.
Yes. And God was doing a work in her. He was developing a tank for his power. You know, so don't resent those times that God is working on you, when the things are happening around you and you feel like, oh Lord, what's happening? He's developing your tank within you. So your lesson says David showed up one day on the battlefield with a tank for Israel. After all that time in the field, he showed up. He just was coming to bring his brothers some food or supplies and lunch or something. And he just showed up in the field and just heard Goliath. And I remember what he said. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to confront the armies of the living God? I mean, just showed up and they're sitting there just trembling. The grown men are trembling. And here he comes, a boy with coming on the battlefield with a tank for Israel. Your lesson says he was all prayed up and ready to advance on the enemy's territory and win the victory. This tank turned the tide of the war for Israel. Folks, I'm telling you, keep developing that tank, because that one day that tank is going to turn the tide of the war in your household. It's going to turn the tide of the war in your family. I'm telling you, it's going to turn the tide of the war. Your tank may just be in the development stage, but keep on in the fields before God as he prepares you for deployment. He's preparing you for deployment, okay? So you just keep on preparing the tank in the field. You keep that prayer life going. You keep having those little intimate conversations with God about everything. You keep hearing what he's saying. Keep learning and growing in your prayer life. And you watch one day he's going to deploy you, and they're going to not know where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to show up in the battlefield with a tank one day, and the people around you are going to need that tank so bad, they're going to be like, thank you. You know, you're going to be like David, showing up, and they offered him all that armor, and the armor was too heavy. I don't need all that. You know, I got a slingshot and just went and did what he needed to do. Took down a giant with a slingshot. So again, we understand, just understanding the power of prayer. So your lesson goes on to say prayer allows you to advance while it protects. So that's important, you know, because so many people have advanced in the kingdom, but they are not protected because they're not praying. Or when you start advancing, don't stop praying.
Right.
When God starts blessing you, don't stop praying. Okay.
Pray harder.
Pray harder. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've seen people do that. You're doing well. You've gotten there, and bam, God blesses you, and then their prayer life just kind of dwindles on down. Please don't make that mistake. Mm-hmm. That is a mistake. Your lesson says you can move in the name of Christ and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, you are his church, you understand? Amen. His worshipers, you are his believers. That makes up his church. And as it says, as Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, 18 through 19, he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, and hear this part, the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. This is where Jesus is talking about the prayer piece. You see, I love the way he combines the two. He's like, I'm going to build my church, Peter, because Peter was going to lead this thing. Peter was going to head it up. He said, Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he flows right into whatever you bind, whatever you pray for, basically, on earth. I'm hearing it in heaven. And I'll deal with it in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So Jesus is talking about, in this binding, he's referring to prayer. You can bind the enemy and his works through prayer. Amen. You can bind it. So as we go on to the next section, it says prayer goes to the things that you don't know. There's so many things you don't know what's going on, you know. Prayer finds the secrets of the enemy's plans and derails them before it even gets to you. He will derail them. You may not know what your children are doing, but prayer will find it out. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, teenagers, oh my goodness, if you got teenagers, you know, I'm telling you, teenagers, I mean, they're just an interesting population, because I feel like lying is their occupation. I mean, they live to lie. They would just lie. I mean, just lie, just to lie, they'll lie, you know, because they want to do so many things, you know, and they know you're going to stop them. So they will just fabricate and manipulate. And I just look, I said, you know, and it's like they just do these things. And I'm like, okay, you have to go into prayer, because you'll never figure out what's going on with them completely. You'll never figure out. Now since they have these devices here and they can connect, oh Lord, in all kind of ways. And, you know, they have even gotten better at their deceptions, you know, they've gotten better at them, you know, but we got to pray for them. You know, we got to pray for them, and we, you know, and pray that the Lord will. I pray the Lord protect them. Yes. I said, Lord, protect them, because they don't know any. Lord, I know they're young, and they think they know. They don't know what they don't know, you know, and they think we don't know. We've lived longer. We tell them that, but they don't believe it. They believe their friends more than they believed you. And it's not until they go through stuff that they understand it. So you pray, Lord, I protect them. Protect them, Lord. And Lord, I pray they learn the lessons that you will have. You know, because they may go out there and do things, but I pray, Lord, you're with them and you protect them and you teach them, Lord, what is truth. And thank God for the ones that come back and they say, oh, mama, you were right. Daddy, you were right. You know, and sometimes it takes them a while to even admit it. I know what you're going to say. You know, they'll say, I know what you're going to say. And sometimes I don't have to say anything. I think God, Jesus, has said it all. I'm sure he has said it all. He was right there with you. He saw everything that went on in prayer. You know, and I always tell my daughter, I'm praying. You know, I'm going to do that. I'm praying. And you can't, mama's not going to stop praying. I'm going to keep praying for you. I'm praying for you, okay? And that you know that I'm praying as you go in, as you go out. You know, when you do these things and you expose yourself to this stuff, I am praying for you. Yeah. You know, I want you to know that. And prayer will find them. Prayer will find it out. Your lesson says you may not know what is happening at your job, but prayer will find anything that would harm you and bring it to an end. You know, in the corporate America, it's like a jungle out there, you know. Dog eat dog world, crabs in a barrel. You know how it is, you know. So you go out and you just pray. Lord, I just pray. I pray over what I'm doing. I pray over the work of my hand. He said he will bless the work of your hand. The scripture says the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. He will preserve your soul, and he'll keep you forevermore. And so he'll go before you in all things. Prayer is a forward-moving force. Prayer is not stagnant. Okay, I know you've been praying. Oh, I've been praying here. I've been praying for 5, 10 years. Prayer is moving. Prayer is moving. And sometimes we want to see the big giant changes, but sometimes it's just the little subtle changes.
And those are sometimes encouraging.
Amen. When they start talking about yes. God and they start talking about Jesus, yes. I was listening, because my daughter, she's just in this place now where she's just thinking other things and believing other things. But the other day she was saying, Jesus is pretty cool. And I'm like, and I was leaping inside like, yes. You heard that. You heard she said you were cool. She says you're cool now. Before she didn't want to hear. Now she's saying you're cool.
Mothers get smart really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do dads.
Yes. So I thank God for those little tidbits. When you hear them say things and you see them and they come to you and they ask you things, I ask you these philosophical questions and they know what you believe, but they're going to ask you anyways. And they may be testing you, but I think they want to know what you have to say because they know you love God. They want to know what is your take on this, because I know you study the scriptures and you know what God would think about this, and they want to hear what God has to say. So that, again, that's an answer to prayer. So don't discount that. The enemy sometimes wants us to look at just the big thing. I want him to come running down to the altar and fall on the altar in tears, And sometimes you just have to look at the little things. Lord, they're asking about you. And Lord, they're not going here anymore.
The most
they're not going there
thing
anymore.
About prayer is that even though we've lost our mothers and dads, we still remember what they have said in our earlier days.
Absolutely.
And how it comes back to us.
How it comes back to us, those seeds.
And that's what is so marvelous, is that I'll be sitting there going, my dad told me that a long time ago.
Yes, yes.
And so it shows that God is not timeless. I mean, he's not timeless.
Yes, he is. I'm telling you.
He's here, And what happened 50 years ago could happen today.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. He is just amazing. Yeah, he brings back those things. You know, I lost my dad many years ago, but I remember him so well. And I remember his favorite song was "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." Yeah. And sometimes that song would just come up in me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This little light of mine. It's a little simple song. Mm-hmm. Usually they sing it in Sunday school for children. But it means so much to me today. Yeah. What does that mean? I'm going to let Jesus shine in my life today, no matter how hard it is, how difficult it is.
And the Word of God you let your light shine.
No.
The Word of God, amen.
No matter how old we are, it's still the same.
It hasn't changed.
That's what's so,
amen. So folks, remember those little things and look, as you're praying for people, look for those little things. Mm-hmm. And because that's God saying, I'm working. Mm-hmm. I'm working. Mm-hmm. I'm working. And sometimes God is entering their dreams and just ministering even in their dreams. You may not have to say a word to them, but God is moving. So you keep praying. It is happening. Prayer will find things out. Prayer is a forward-moving force, a battering ram that powers you ahead in the pursuit of God's will. So, folks, you don't have to strain your brain trying to figure out what people are doing, what people are plotting. Prayer will watch your back. If you're going out in prayer, he's got your back. It's like a tank. If you see that picture in your lesson, the picture of the tank, they can shoot all they want, but nothing's penetrating that.
That's right.
They're moving forward. You're just moving forward, and they can't even get to you because prayer watches your back. The next point of your lesson talks about the apostle requested prayer from the church at Ephesus as he did his work. He was a great writer and a great preacher and a great teacher, but he requested prayer from the apostle Paul as he sits in prison. And he wrote, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right word so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Hope you understand the hard job he had trying to bring these two groups together. He says, I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray, he says again, that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. And that's Ephesians 6, 17 through 20. And as I read this, I sometimes feel a little sadness. I had a little sadness coming out of here from him that he's sitting in. I'm in chains, so pray for me, that I'll keep doing what I need to do. Maybe feeling some sadness, maybe fighting demons. Probably, I'm sure he was fighting demons who taunted him about his situation. And he knew he needed prayer. He knew he needed the prayers of his brothers and sisters to carry him through and to keep him on track as he boldly preached the gospel of Christ. Folks, I don't care how strong a spiritual leader may seem. Keep praying. Pray for our pastors. They are at front center. They go through so much, you know, and they, boy, you know, I just, you know, they just have so much coming at them, and the demons target them because they know if they take them down, they'll take so many with them, you know. So again, we pray for our leadership. You know, I don't care how good and strong they seem. You continue them in prayer. Pray for them every day. You should be whispering that prayer for them daily so that they have a whole cloud of prayer coming toward them every day, as this apostle was praying in prison. It goes on to say, the next point says, he knew that it didn't matter how gifted he was, if he did not have prayer, he would not prevail.
Yes, that's right.
We got to know that. Gifts do not matter if the heart is beaten down. He would not advance. He would not get the victory if he didn't have prayer. You know, so you can be gifted. You could have the best, beautiful singing voice, talented to teach and to preach. But if your heart gets beaten down, folks, that's why we got to pray for each other. That's why God puts so much emphasis on this horizontal relationship that we have with each other, that we're praying for each other. Life is hard, and we got to pray for each other. The next point goes on to say, the apostle was writing these words from prison, and yet from inside his confined situation, prayer was still blowing holes into every obstacle that stood between him and his next assignment. I mean, this man was, he said, I may not be able to get out there in the community, but I'm going to write letters, and I'm going to write encouragement, and I'm going to encourage people. And today, you and I sit here some 2,000 years later with a copy of the words of the apostle who sat in prison praying and asking for prayer. Hallelujah. See, prayer not only inspired his words, it preserved the words of the Bible.
Amen.
He was in prison, but his words, the text that he wrote was preserved, I believe, because of prayer. Words that continues to preach and teach and encourage believers in the way of Christ because of prayer. Oh, hallelujah. The prayer tank is enduring and causes us to endure the hardest of situations. So that tank, that prayer, preserved those words of the apostles and carried it into the 20th century and carried it into the 21st century, and has blessed and continues to bless because of the words of this apostle who prayed for prayer, who asked for prayer.
And he never asked to be let out of prison.
He didn't ask. Again, I think he had such a trust in God. If you got me here, it's for a reason. If you want to season me here, it's for a reason. If you want to develop my tank here, it's for a reason. And I accept it and I receive it. And Lord, show me what I'm going to do. What shall I do? And he started writing. See, maybe if he didn't go to prison, maybe he wouldn't have sat down in a room. I've learned that to be true. I don't believe I would have written the books I've written had it not been for my son, because he kept me kind of isolated, and I had to, you know, I couldn't go out like I wanted to, so I was home a lot, you know. And so I wrote, and I said, God, I thank you, because had it not been, I look back, that's when God really does a work in people, when they're alone and when they're isolated. Yeah. That's when he can really cultivate that intimate relationship. So,
and whenever Paul and them got to a town, they didn't look for a motel. They always looked for the jail.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they knew that's where they
were. That's where they were headed. You know, because they were told, don't you preach that Jesus here. Don't you preach that Jesus here. And what did they do? They went right in the temple. Not on the side. They went in the temple and started preaching.
You know? And they knew he'd be in jail.
They knew they'd be in jail.
They said, well, here I am again.
Yes, here I am again. So, boy, just amazing.
We avoid jail. Yeah. But he knew that's where he was going to be. Yes. So.
They're going to get me anyway, so I might as well come in.
When I heard that, I just laughed. I thought, you know, that's right. He spent half his time in jail.
In jail. Or in prison. Had he not, I don't know, we would have gotten that. He wrote a third of the New Testament. Right. Yeah. So, you know, had it may not have happened had he not been in jail. Yeah.
And how does God get us? He's got to get us by ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm.
He's got to get
because
us
because we're busy.
And
you know?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, yeah. See, we mm-hmm. we got it. You know, He quiets us down mm-hmm. even in our Christian work.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I have found, as I said, sometimes that's that trench warfare. We're in the trenches and we're doing the work and mm-hmm. we're doing what mm-hmm. we're supposed to do and we're shooting at the enemy, but we don't advance because mm-hmm. we're so busy. We're so busy.
Busy.
We don't make that time for God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're about the work. We're on the right side. But I found that sometimes you got to make time for prayer. What's next on the agenda, Father? How do we advance? How do we go forward? You know, that's what we have to do. So as we go on the lesson, it says that this tank called prayer can be quiet and stealthily without the enemy ever knowing the conversations going on in your head, and may I add, even in your heart, with the commander-in-chief. Oh, it's quiet, it's stealthy, you know, and the enemy never knows the conversations going on. That's what I love about prayer. It can be done silently. Sometimes I've been sitting in a meeting, just looking at what's going on in the meeting, and just be praying.
Yeah.
You can be sitting at a family gathering. You see, oh boy, you see the tempers, kind of the tension rising, and you can just be in prayer, Father. Come now, Holy Spirit, come. We need you now, Holy Spirit, just in your mind. The scriptures teach us to pray without ceasing because this is possible. It is possible to pray without ceasing or pray consistently. One version of the Bible says, pray consistently and continually and keep your silent conversations with God going on and talk to Him about everything, talking about everything you encounter in the day. You know, I'm learning to do that. People I encounter, Lord, what is this about? What is going on? Lord, bless them. Lord, keep that one. Lord, help that one. You know, it's just a constant pray without ceasing. That's what it means. You know, even when you're driving, you know, you see people driving all erratically. Lord, I pray, help them. Help that teenager. They don't understand. They're young, and they don't understand, Lord, how easily their life can be snatched away, Lord, on these streets, Lord. So you're praying about them, everything that's on your mind, what you're feeling about. I want to say that. Pray about what you're feeling about. Sometimes somebody's hurt your feelings. Sometimes you're feeling sad, and you don't tell anybody. You know, especially we women, we know how to put on a smile and go on, you know, when someone has wounded us sometimes. And sometimes it's someone close, sometimes it's your children, sometimes it's your spouse, you know, and you just go on, and you can tell God about those feelings. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm feeling, Lord, and I'm feeling hurt, Lord, and I'm ready to do something, Father God. I'm ready to lash out. Oh, no cake for them tonight, okay? Okay. In fact, I might not even cook dinner. I don't know. I just, you know, and just talk about God about your heart.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's when you have the most intimate time. Just talk. Yes, he already knows. He sees it, and He invites you. Come, talk to Me. You know, remember what He said? Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Come, let's talk this out. Said one version. Come, let's talk about this. How you're feeling right now? You know, because I usually, you know, we don't talk about God about when we're feeling bad because we know. We think we know what He's going to say. You're going to tell me to forgive Him, and I'm not ready yet to forgive Him because they hurt me. They hurt me bad, Jesus, and I'm not ready to talk about forgiveness yet. And so many times He'll talk about so many other things. Yeah, that hurt you. Let's talk about why that hurt you. And you know I got you. You know, I know they treated you that way, but I would never treat you that way. And I got you. You know, that's sometimes what I hear from Him, not you need to forgive. It's not. He's like, you know, but I got you. I'm sorry they hurt you like that. I know that really wounded you. And I know why that wounded you because, and He'll take you back to a memory. That's why it hurt you so bad. But I want you to know, I would never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I've got you. And I'll help you. I'll help you love them. You know, there's so many wonderful conversations you have got if you just let down those walls and let Him in. to those places that you don't want to talk about, and you just want to sit there, and sometimes you just want to sit there, and you just want to cry, and you just want to, you know, feel bad, you know, but let God into those places, and let him heal your heart. Sometimes, how you're feeling in your body, you know, he wants to, you know, he knows how you're feeling, but my knees have been giving me a fit. I mean, really, I'm like, Lord, I didn't think I'd ever get old, but Lord, I think I'm getting old. I think my knees bothered me, Father God, you know, my knees never bothered me before. And my knees have been bothering me. Hey, Vida, come on in. Good to see you. Come on in. We can squeeze in one more, as they say.
Okay, we'll just scoot over.
Yeah. We can squeeze
in one
more. I just
get closer and closer.
There's
a
lesson right there, the new lesson. You know. So, and I don't know what page we're on, guys, in your lesson. Page 15 on your in your lesson we're on.
Oh.
So again, yeah, talk to God about everything. What's going on with you? You know, because he wants to know. That's why Jesus died. That's why that veil was torn in two. So you could come into the Holy of Holies, the most intimate places with God, and you can tell him when your heart hurts. You can tell him when somebody hurt your feelings. And, you know, and he'll have...
I find myself talking to the Lord all day long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my son says, Mom, do you know you're talking to yourself? I says, no, I'm not talking to myself.
Yeah. I'm talking to the Lord.
I am talking to my Father.
Yeah. I'm talking to my Father. Yeah, it's all about relationship.
Really,
and he wants to know. And we don't have to compartmentalize ourselves for God, to keep pieces of ourselves away from him, because we didn't, you know, we think, oh, he wouldn't understand. Oh, yes, he would.
Oh, yes,
and he
yes.
wants to talk about it. And I'll tell you, I know he wants to talk about it, because he'll bring it up in other ways.
Yeah.
You've left it alone, and he'll bring it up in other ways. It'll come, something will come over the radio, or somebody will say something to you that kind of hits that spot, you know. And that's, I believe, I've learned that that's God. He's like, come talk to me.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this.
And he's never too busy.
No. He's never too busy.
And I think a lot of people want to talk to him when they're sick or they need him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's why I try to tell my grandkids. Mm-hmm. Talk to him all the time.
Yes.
And as I said, even
when you are
sick,
yeah.
You know, and sometimes we don't talk to him about when we're sick until we're really sick.
Exactly.
When we think we're going to leave here. That's when we go, Jesus,
yeah,
Jesus.
I'm coming home.
Jesus, I'm coming home. And then we talk to him. He said, if you would have talked to me when your toe was hurting, maybe.
Or when we're in trouble.
Or when you're in trouble. When you're in trouble. Talk to him
before we
even
get there.
Exactly. Even when it was your fault.
Talk
to him. Exactly. Even when you misspoke, and even when you started the argument,
right.
And even when you were unwise, talk to him.
Yeah.
Tell him all about it, Lord. I know I shouldn't have said that. I should have kept my mouth shut. Why didn't I? He'll talk to you, and it's not always what you think he's going to say. I'm amazed at the things he does say about it. You know, and he's always so gracious, and he always says, you're going to do better next time. You know, and you're, let's go again. Mm-hmm. Let's go again. Let's begin again. Let's get up and go again. You know.
And he doesn't tell you all at once, it's steps.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't just, okay, now you're done. Now you can go somewhere else, you know.
Yeah. He tells you. He helps you.
Ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So, next in your lesson, it says, prayer is not just a little church ritual, but a raw power that gives us access to the Almighty. Boy, that's one to take home. It's not just a church ritual. It should not just be done in church. It is a raw power that gives you access to the Almighty. Prayer is the powerhouse that fuels all that you do in his name, if you would let it. I know we all do a lot of things every day. Tomorrow, you're going to be doing a lot of things. Are you going to let prayer be the powerhouse of that? Or are you going to just, hey, I got this. I got my business, my MBA in business, and I know how to do this and all of this. Or are you going to let prayer be the powerhouse that fuels everything? Next last part says, we rob God when we don't pray. I'm sorry. We are robbed. We are robbed when we don't pray.
Yes.
And we are deceived when we don't pray. I'll guarantee you. You will be deceived if you don't pray. The enemy will have you running in circles, you know, if you don't pray. He will have you all jacked up. When we do pray, we can see and sense the enemy's approach, and we can take the land when you do pray. Prayer goes before you into meetings. Prayer goes before you into situations. And you can have the upper hand, and the Holy Spirit will be right there to give you what to say and when to say it if you pray. If you have your prayer life going. We can begin our defensive and offensive actions in prayer. You know, we can be defend in prayer. And you can be offensive, attack the enemy in prayer. What I mean by that, you know, because there's defense and there's offense when there's a war. Defense is like protecting yourself, you know, the fortress. That's a defense, you know. But offense is when you're shooting back. That's offensive. So prayer does both. If you will allow it, prayer can do both in your life. But you got to bring it with you. Can't leave it sitting at home. As the scripture says, your lesson says, as the scripture have said, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is a dynamic and it can have tremendous power. That's James 5:16. But folks, it's got to be put into action. You know, if you leave it hanging on a hook at home, okay, it's not going to be any good. If you leave your weapon lying dormant or parked somewhere, how will you defend yourself against your very real and present enemy? He is real and he is present, folks. He does not take a day off. So why would you take a day off in prayer? You know, so again, we talked about this. We're called to arms. You're called to have your armor on, to lift up your voices in prayer so that the purposes of God can prevail in our lives. The scripture says, you know, the scripture talks about this. When Joseph was talking to his brothers, he says, as you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. That's Genesis 50 and 20, if you want to read it. And Joseph was talking to his brothers. Joseph was a man of prayer, and he said, you meant it for evil. See, so even when people are coming at you, see, and they mean it for evil. I'm not saying you won't have any hard days, because you will have some hard days. I'll guarantee you. Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. He said it, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what he said. And that's what Joseph has demonstrated here. He said, you meant it for evil, but God invaded those circumstances, because Joseph kept his heart pure. He kept praying. And when all was said and done, he ended up saving. Oh, the entire nation of Israel was saved because of this. So again, guys, just again, that's why we pray. That's why we keep pressing on, even when the days are hard, because God can enter even the circumstances that are meant for evil. God can enter it. We see so much going on in our nation today, and we, you know, we shake our head at the news and we see all the grief going on in the world, you know, but God, I just know God can invade circumstances, the worst of circumstances. God can invade it so that people are, their eyes are opened up and they come to the Lord. Next one, lesson says, prayer is unlimited in its range and access. Let me say that again. It's unlimited in its range and access. You don't have to be walking around to see how many bars you got when it comes to prayer. You know, do I have a signal when it comes to prayer? You know, prayer is with you. You know, you know, it's not, its range is unlimited. You know, God can see you in the deepest depths of the sea. He can see you on the highest mountain. God can see you wherever you go, when nobody else sees you. You've been buried alive somewhere. God sees you. And prayer can reach you. We can pray without ceasing. Prayer is ever accessible, like a standing counseling session 24/7.
Yes.
No appointment necessary. I love that. No appointment necessary. You will find the counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, always standing by, always understanding, and always full of wisdom, giving us truth and confronting our sin. I love that. See, you have friends. I have friends, and I love my friends, but sometimes my friends won't tell me the truth because they don't want to hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they won't tell me things that I need to know because they want me to, well, if I tell her that, she won't be my friend anymore. She may not like me tomorrow if I tell her, you know. For the Holy Spirit, I love the Holy Spirit will hit you right between the eyes. Okay, he doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care who you are. He's going to hit you between the eyes with truth. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He loves you, and that's why he will hit you, and he confront our sin. And I love it. I've come to love the fact that he confronts my sin. He doesn't let me stay the way I am.
That's right.
He wants to, his job, his purpose is to make me more like Christ. So therefore, he has to confront me. You know, because sometimes we Christians, we believers, think we're always right. Especially when we're dealing with unbelievers. We think we're always right, and we think we're all that, and we walk in the glory of God, and we got to correct them. You know, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
That will show me myself, will show me my judgmental, self-righteous self. And I love it. I'm like, Lord, thank you for showing me me. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, man, Jesus was like that. I treasure those moments with the Holy Spirit because as I repent, I become more like Christ than I was before. You know, I become more like him when I repent. And I learned that lesson. And I walked in the next day more careful and more loving. And I'm more like Christ than I was before. Mm-hmm. So I thank God for the Holy Spirit that gives us those sessions where we're crying in the night. Nobody sees us. Nobody knows. Holy Spirit is right there. Mm-hmm. You know, like the counselor, you can imagine him sitting in a chair with his pad and pencil. Why do you think you're sad today?
Well,
you know. So I love that. I love that if you can, and the Holy Spirit will, you know, the thing about he'll bring the word back to you all the time. Mm-hmm. The word of God says, but you did this, this, and this. And my word says that. That word says, I love everybody for God so loved the world. You can't pick and choose who you love. You gotta love everybody. And I brought them into your life because I need you to learn how to love this person, this type of person. This, oh man. He'll hit you where you live, honey. You can't hide all those little stuff, all that little stuff that we put on our nice, pretty, shiny clothes and we come walking around in church. Oh, the Holy Spirit will like, okay, I'm gonna bring somebody in your life. And we're going to teach you some lessons, you know. So, again, folks, pay attention. He's always teaching. So we thank God for the Holy Ghost and how he teaches. In prayer, your lesson says, in prayer, there are no secrets between you and the Holy Spirit. There is perfect honesty, perfect freedom, perfect forgiveness. I love that part. And perfect confidence. You don't have to hang your head. Mm-hmm. Perfect everything. And that's from our book. This level of candor or transparency before the Holy Spirit will bring great power and effectiveness into your prayers. Remember what we just read, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. A righteous person avails much. So as you let the Holy Spirit bring this into your life and this repentance, and you're transparent with the Holy Ghost about yourself, it brings power into your life and your prayers become more effective. So that's what you want, and it will avail much. So that's how that scripture reads. And, you know, we can't change it. We can't modify it. Well, I want my prayers to be powerful. I want to be effective, but I don't want to be so righteous with you, Jesus. I don't want to be doing, no. The righteous part, that repentant part, that growing part brings power with it. So as we go into the next segment, I'm trying to finish this section up so we'll get into our next section next time. Prayer brings us peace, brings us to peace, and courage. It brings peace and courage as we unburden ourselves before the throne of God. Oh, you get peace because you can let it go, folks. You don't have to carry it. Let it go. Let it go. Let Jesus take it. our hearts are armored by the Holy Spirit. And that from should not be there. Keeping our emotions and fears in check as we press forward to victory, trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our communities, our nation, and our world. Prayer brings peace and it brings courage. It keeps our emotions and our fears in check, because fear makes us afraid and we won't do things that we're supposed to do. And that messes with the courage we have in God. Our emotions mess us up because we're feeling all that stuff that happened. Oh, something happened and you see that person and all those emotions come up again. But the Holy Spirit will keep that in check. So you can go forward. You can love that person. You can do what you need to do. You can carry out what the Holy Spirit told you to do. So the Holy Spirit will keep your emotions and your fears in check as we do the work of the Lord in our communities, in our nation, our world. Prayer brings a peace. Prayer brings courage. Mm-hmm. The next point in your lesson is from John 16, 7 through 10. And it says, "But I tell you the truth," and this is Jesus speaking, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby," I love all these titles, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you." You know what he's saying? He said, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit will be your prayer partner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He'll be your prayer partner. He'll be with you in prayer. That's and right. He'll show you how to pray. Oh, man. He will, oh my goodness. He, and it, verse 8 says, when he comes, will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a Savior, about righteousness and about judgment, about sin and the true nature of it, because they do not believe me and my message. Oh man. So as you pray and you invite that Holy Spirit, oh man, he's going to be messing with us. Oh man. About righteousness, personal integrity, and godly character, because I am going to my Father, and you will no longer see me. About judgment, the certainty of it. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Folks, it's coming. Yes. Okay, what we've seen so far, it's not it. It's coming. Because the ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged and condemned.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit, and you know, in some of the teachings in the book of Revelation, they talk about after the rapture of the church, the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world. I can't imagine the world without the Holy Spirit. I believe even what keeps unbelievers at bay is that there is some conviction there between right and wrong. But can you imagine the world without the Holy Spirit? You know, but while we have him here.
Yeah.
While we're having him here, folks, invite him into your prayer life. Read this scripture over and over again, because you can see all the thing he does. He will convict you. He will convict. He will tell you what to pray about. He will be your intercessor. He'll be your advocate. He'll be a comforter. He'll be your counselor. And he will strengthen you. So this is why we invite the Holy Spirit into our prayer time. You know, he is our ultimate prayer partner in prayer. And it ends up saying Satan has already been judged and condemned. So what is he still doing in the earth if he's been judged already and he's already been condemned? He's deceiving as many human beings as he can before his time is done. And his time is short, and that's why it's getting worse and worse and worse, because he is doing all he can to deceive as many humans as he can. Therefore, we must pray. And if we don't pray, we will be deceived also. Yes. I'm reminded of that scripture that the Lord said, if he had delayed his coming, even the very elect would have been deceived. And I keep thinking about that. You know, the elect, who are they elect? Are they the believers? Are the ones that, I can't fathom anything except that, that he's talking about us, that even we would be deceived if he continued to delay his return. Wow. That even we would get discouraged, because the world is going to get that
it's
bad.
It's so ugly out there.
So that's why we must pray. That's why we must pray. There's no option.
Amen.
There's no option. You can't depend on other people's prayers. You got to pray yourself.
That's right.
Okay. You know, others, yeah, we should be praying for each other, but please have your own prayer life.
Say like you please. Say, I pray that they pray.
I pray that they pray. Uh-huh. I pray that you pray. You need your own prayer closet. Yes. You need your own war room going on. Yes. You know, you need it happening if you are going to make it in this day and age. It says the victory over Satan has already been won. Prayer brings that victory to pass. Therefore, the question remains, with all of the things that prayer does, why do we do it so rarely? Oh, why? Why do we park our tank? We park our tank for days. Do we park our tank for weeks and, God forbid, months and years? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we park our tank. But don't park your tank, folks. You need to be in your tank every day. The next point says we have great abilities and talents, but prayer is what infuses our efforts with God's boundless ability. Don't rely on your gifts and your talents and your intellect and your degrees and your money and your bank account. Don't rely, folks. I'm telling you, it could be gone in a day.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, the government can seize your stuff in a day if they feel like it. Okay? So don't rely on that. You rely on God. Prayer is what frames our pressing. Short-term issues with God, God's eternal perspective. Let me read that again. Prayer is what frames our pressing short-term issues with God's eternal perspective. Get that. Prayer means hope. Prayer means help. Prayer means relief. Prayer means power. And this is all from our book. Prayer brings eternity into focus for us. That's another thing prayer does. You know, you're not thinking in the temporal. Yeah. You're thinking in the eternal. This stuff is, everything's going to pass away, folks. Don't get caught up in anything. Okay? I know your car is nice and shiny, but it will depreciate. I'm telling you now. Don't get caught up in your nice house, okay? Yeah. It will fall apart. Yes. I'm telling you. I know it'll fall apart. Look into the eternal. Yes. Prayer brings eternity into focus. We need to see the bigger picture. We need to see the eternal picture of ourselves and mankind. You need to see the eternal picture of you. Mm-hmm. Don't just see you today and where you are and what you have going on. You need to be looking into eternity when it comes to you and where you're going to spend it and what that's about. You know, what is God thinking about you? What is going to happen on that day when I stand before him? I'm thinking in the eternal, Lord, when that day comes, Lord, what are you going to bring up that I didn't deal with, that you were dealing with me about? That's what I think about now. I'm like, Lord, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Bring it to me. Let me know. Who do I need to talk to? Who do I need to apologize to? Who do I need to minister to? Where did I miss it yesterday, Lord? Think in the eternal. Prayer will bring you that kind of mind. True prayer is not short-sighted, but seeks the eternal purposes of God. You know, let things go, folks. You know, let that china go. Remember that special china that we can't use it and nobody can use it. The family can't use it. And, you know, because that's my special china that you don't, and you never use it. I'm like, no, you know, I learned that. You know, I saw that growing up. People used to have plastic over their church. You couldn't sit on. I'm like, what is it for? Exactly. If it's not for the ones you love, what is it for? Mm-hmm. You know, so I start breaking out that china. We're going to use these nice dishes. Let's leave these nice dishes. It's Sunday morning. It's Sunday dinner. Let's pull out this china. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've learned to let things go. Give things away that you're not using. Oh, but I spent all that money on that, and I know I never use it, but give it away. Let it go. Think in the eternal. And God will come and he'll tell you to give stuff away. But I know I haven't worn it in 5 years, but it's, you know, I know it's going to look cute on me when I lose that 30 pounds. It's going to look so cute on me. God will say, give it away. Please give it away. There's somebody needs it. Give it. If you lose the 30 pounds, I'll bless you with another one, okay? And finally, guys, as we end up, and I know we've got to go, the great poet Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice rise like a fountain for me day and night." I love that. For me night and day, boy. And then the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52:1. So we need to put on our strength. That's our strength. O Zion, put on your prayer. Don't let your children, your community, your nation be taken. Put on your strength. Put on your prayer. And that's our lesson, lesson two. And I know we don't have much time, but anybody have any comments to make?
You know, one thing about it is that when you hesitate to pray, he's right there saying, let it go. Let me have it. Let it go. You know. But God, you're too busy. You're, that's not important. I want it. Let it go.
Yeah.
You know. And it's so simple, but we fight. We want to keep it ourselves, you know. And we waste a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You know. When,
yeah.
And he's going to win in the end anyway. So.
And when we handle it, we mess it up.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
We do mess it up.
Or if we miss it, he'll bring it around to us again. But this second time is a lot worse than the first time.
So. Let's try this again, okay?
I had a situation this week. It's really kind of petty. But I'm not a car person. My car is 20 years old and falling apart. So I finally decided I needed a new car. Well, I've been looking for a long time and praying, waiting on the Lord. He finally found me one. And it's been nothing but... It was supposed to be ready Wednesday, and something came up and it wasn't. Okay, I'm fine. Thursday anyway. Yesterday, she said, for sure, you know, I'll meet you at your house. I'll take your car. Never heard from her. I texted her when I got out of work. And she said, well, the paint, we still have a little scratch we have to paint. Well, I didn't even think about how nice that they're going to paint it. It was like, and I got really upset. So my boss could tell that I was upset. And he said, what's wrong? And I handed him the phone and showed him the text. And he looked at me real gentle. He said, all in God's time.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So I got to my car and I was upset still. So I waited a little while and did the whining thing, you know, training. My wipers broke. That's what got me to decide that my car. I have to sit here while it rains. I can't get home. Anyway, I was throwing a tantrum in my car. And listen to this. The Lord said, what about Karen's stove? I was like, huh? What are you talking about, Lord?
Karen's stove?
And he took me back when you told us that story about how long you had to wait for your stove.
Good and Christmas.
Like, oh, we waited like months. It's only been days. Anyway, by the time I got home, I was fine. I've been singing those that wait upon the Lord. So the girl texts me later on, the salesperson. She said, I promise you it'll be Sunday, Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, it's fine. I've had this car 20 years. Why do I even care?
I waited 20 years. I can make it.
It was like the enemy just blew, you know.
Yes.
But the thing back here was in the morning, my boss said, where's Cadillac? He keeps telling me that. And I said, you know, I've been real patient, but if I don't get it today, I think I'm going to be upset. Well, I set myself up.
Yeah, the enemy upset. Heard that.
You know? Yeah. Didn't like how it felt. Anyway, today, praise God. Praise God. Car ladies.
Yeah.
Someday.
Oh, amen. Someday you're going to get a car. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did apologize to it this morning.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You've been faithful.
Yeah, the whole thing is that it's all in God's timing.
And he's always teaching.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the whole situation with you is that he was like, I'm just seeing how much you've grown.
Yes.
And
you know,
here's the thing too that I heard in my spirit, the girl that sold that at the dealership, what an opportunity to show her God.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
You know, because she's very apologetic. I'm going to apologize to her for, you know, with the bad feelings.
Yeah.
So maybe I can tell her about the
Yes. Amen. He's always working. I found that.
Yes.
And I'm always, I said, Lord, I'm always your representative. Mm-hmm. Even in situations like that, and we all run into situations like, let me speak to your supervisor right now, you know, because, you know, and I've learned, I've said, no. I'm gonna let it go. I'm gonna let it go. I said, you know, Lord, because this soul in front of me, this worker is more important, Lord, than me getting what I want when I want it.
Right now.
You know, right now. Yeah, yeah. So even when they're rude, you know, I'm just like, Lord, you know, I'm going to show them love back, you know, and it just, boy, you should see how it's like, it's almost like putting a water on a match when they're all rude and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, you're having a hard day. I know you're probably having a hard day. Yeah, I am. And it just melts.
Well, you know, the evil beast still wants to creep
the
up.
The evil D. mean Karen and evil D, huh?
The Holy Spirit just quicker and I'm learning to listen.
Okay.
I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit, He will. If you allow Him, He will take over you.
Yeah.
And He'll show you that love. And boy, it'll be such a beautiful experience for you and that other person that's involved, that's doing their best, but life is what it is, you know.
So. And it's such a petty thing compared to some of the other things that are going on in the world.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's a tiny little silly thing.
Just a car.
But that's what the
just a car. It's going
to
depreciate.
That's what the devil wants, that petty thing, amazing thing, to get your eyes off of what he's trying to show you.
But
yeah.
I am praising God.
Yes.
Praising
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And thank you for telling us the story about the stone.
I went through those emotions too, dude. But believe me, I went through those emotions, especially on Christmas Eve. I was fit to be tied. I had my recipes all lined up, and I just
it was kind of funny.
Ended up using a toaster oven, but we made it.
He's talking about Lord Karen's stone.
Yeah.
And then it
came back. Yes. Mm-hmm. The toaster. Boy. But God taught me something. He taught me something. He really did.
Me too.
Yeah. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy.
Yes.
Thank you for your love and your kindness. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that we can sit and we can talk and we can, you Lord, even be transparent with ourselves, Lord God, because we know you, Lord God, have made the difference in our lives. And Lord, today we can testify about what you have done, Lord, in us. And we appreciate it. It's wonderful in our eyes, Lord, that you have moved in us and you have changed us and made us more like you, our Savior, our Lord. Our God, we love you, Jesus. We love you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have made us a part of the family of God. We thank you, Jesus, for that. And we pray that you go with us. Continue to teach us. Continue to be with us, Holy Spirit. We don't leave you at the doorstep of Praise Assembly, but we take you with us into our homes and in our jobs and in our work this week, Lord God. Protect us and keep us. Lord, remind us to pray. We pray that we pray, Lord God. We pray that we're reminded to pray. Oh, Lord, that we would pray without ceasing. We will pray continually. We'll pray about everything, Lord God, but we would not take anything lightly, oh Lord, but everything that we do in word and deed, Lord, we do it as unto your name, and we do it, Lord God, as unto you, and we do it with prayer. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you, oh Lord, and as always we expect you, and Lord, we just thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.